Would you stand with us all over this sacred space called sanctuary today? It is a place of refuge. The garden is so consequential in that it is the place of creation. It is where Adam and Eve first were, that they were born at the hand of God. God speaks to us today. He is not done creating. He is able to take broken circumstances and broken dreams to turn them completely around and to change a broken life. He's still speaking things today, new and afresh, to those who will receive Him. I'm thankful for my heritage. I'm thankful for the Garden of Adam and Eve. I'm thankful for that place of creation and renewing and restoring. But I'm also thankful that the garden was the place where Jesus went, even into the Garden of Gethsemane, and it was there that He prayed the most intense prayer that's ever been prayed, until His sweat became even as drops of blood. So I tell you today that God does creative work in the garden, but He also redeems and restores, and He takes every sin and washes it away in His own blood. Amen. I'm thankful for the garden this morning and what it has been and what it will be to those who believe. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them, Dad let something in the house. Dad. This word always represents essentially a two-way mirror. It reflects either on us in the right way or we turn and we choose the wrong way. And we know there are two sons in the book of Luke chapter 15, and that one is restored and that one is bitter and chooses to remain outside the house. I'm glad I'm in the house today. I'm thankful for this house, aren't you? I'm thankful for men and women that sing with all they've got, play with all that they have, and lead us into the ways of the Lord. Josh came by me this morning just before we started. He said, Pastor, give it all you got today. Two sons in the house. Luke chapter 15, verse 25. You'll find yourself somewhere, men, women, sons, daughters, you'll find yourself in one of these two men. Maybe one of these three. The older son had been out in the field. But when he came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. And so he called one of the servants, the faithful, over and asked, a servant of his father, and said, what is going on in there? That's his house. That was his house. What's going on in my house? The servant answered, your brother, the prodigal, has come home safe and sound. Am I speaking to any parents today out there, that your prayer today over your son and your daughter is that somehow they come home safe and sound, that physically they are okay, that mentally they are okay, and most of all, spiritually, they are in right relationship with the Father. He is safe and sound, and your Father ordered us to kill the best calf. And the older brother got so angry that he would not even go into the house. His father came out and begged him to go in. But he said to his father, for years I have worked for you like a slave. That was probably not a true statement. And I have always obeyed you. Again, maybe not a true statement. But you have never even given me a small goat that I could give a dinner, that I could have a party for my friends. And this other son of yours, not his brother, it is his brother, but this other son has wasted your money on prostitutes. And now that he has come home, you've ordered the very best to be killed on his behalf. God, I ask you to add your anointing to your word. God, I pray today that there will be a fresh anointing in this house. That God, there will be a reason to celebrate, and God, there will be a firm foundation of conviction. That should there be one here today with the heart of the older brother, before this day is through, that they will turn that heart back to you and climb out of their own pig pen and rejoice in what the Father has provided. In Jesus' name, turn to someone, just love them today. Would you embrace them and tell them God is so good? As you're seated today, we honor all of our fathers in the house. You are a blessing. You are a leader. May your homes be filled with the love of Jesus Christ. And may you ever know what it is to represent the house well. On December 7th, 2007, Alcides Moreno and his brother, Edgar, fell 47 stories. 47. From the Solo Tower on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. 50% of people who fall 4 to 5 stories do not make it. They fell at a speed estimated at 124 miles per hour. Edgar, the brother, was instantly killed, but not Alcides. Alcides would receive 24 pints of blood, 19 pints of plasma, undergo 16 surgeries for 10 broken bones, collapsed lungs, damaged kidneys, and blood clots in the brain. Dr. Sheldon Tapperman of Jacoby Medical Center in the Bronx said this, "This guy should have died." 18 days later, when Alcides finally came to, woke up, the first question to his wife was this, "What did I do?" Not long ago, Alcides finished a 3-mile walk for his church food pantry. His uncanny time was 18.3 minutes per mile. He fell 47 stories in New York. Some have been documented to survive a fall of 12 stories and 14. And one individual incredibly survived 19 stories. But how do you fall that far, that fast, 47 stories, and live to tell about it? How do you compare that kind of pain? Oh, I fell 19 stories. Big deal. I fell 47. I know you fell 19 stories, but you've never been hurt like I've been hurt. Oh, I know you know 19-story pain, but do you know you can't begin to understand my 47-story pain? And then the question is, can this house, Summerton Church of God, can this church, can we handle those who have and deal with 47-story pain? I don't know how the house can deal with my pain, deal with my hurt, deal with my letdowns, deal with my disappointments. How do I fall that fast in that heart? Tell me, how do I survive? The first thing that I want to tell you and remind you on this Father's Day is that there is a comeback for those who have fallen. You can fall 47 stories and still show up for the race. That's how amazing our God really is. You can fall 47 stories and still run the race and do something for the kingdom of God. God, 47 stories, and still make incredible time with what you have right here, right now. I don't know about you, but I get weary with mamby-pamby Christianity. I stub my spiritual toe. Somebody offended me. Somebody in life tripped me up, and I stumbled because of what someone else did to me. My God, give us at Summerton 47-story people who lost something valuable on the way down, who lost a brother, who lost access to the house, found themselves disgraced in a disgraced pig pen or two along the way down, wasted everything they had on the way down, should have never gotten up from what happened to them on the way down, but they got up anyway, they lived to testify about it, they are still giving God glory and magnifying His name because the Father is holy and faithful and righteous and He can make a difference when no one else can. Man, they got up anyway. They showed up for the race anyway in order to build something for the house. The problem is we have way too many people trying to build something for themselves, but they have stopped building anything for the house. And it is God's will and it is His divine order for the prodigal to find their way back to the house. And when they get back to the house, there is something here waiting on them that they can connect to and connect with that will change their lives forever. Edgar. His brother was literally broken in half. But Alcides, today, Brother Tommy, is still showing up to support the house. He lost something valuable, but he's still trusting. He's still doing something for the house. Man, I've had a lot of things in life, Brother Jim, that tried to break me in half. But I never got bitter toward the house, and I've never been bitter toward the Father. And today, because God is faithful, I've never one time thought about quitting or giving up on a God and a Father who loves me and holds me in the palm of His hand. I believe that God said, I'm about to speed up somebody's time of blessing just because you showed up for the race after you fell 47 stories. Am I speaking to anybody in this house? You feel like there's been a time or two, maybe in the last year, that you know what a 47-story fall is like. It may not be physical. You may not have felt like a bird flying through the air. But it's been a mental attack and a spiritual attack, an attack on your son, an attack on your daughter, an attack on your family. And you thought, God, I don't know if I can handle much more. God said, if I can't get to you, God said, if I can't get to you after 47 stories, I'm really no good for you at four. If I can't handle your 47 stories, I can't handle your two pig pens. But if I can handle your 47-story fall, then you've got to know that those little things in life, those temptations, those troubles, those trials, I am a big God. And if I can handle 47-story falls, I can handle what it is you're going through today. That's the kind of Father we serve. If you believe it, would you pause and just give Him praise today? But God said, if I've got your 47, I can handle your 2, and I can handle your 12 and your 21. And you know what I found out? I found out that some older brothers, they never show up for the race. They just complain about those who do. I found out that there are some older brothers that they want you to die. They want to die themselves. They've not had the courage. And I'm telling you today, God said that I am a restorer and a repairer of the breach. And if I've got your 47, I can handle anything else you've got for me, baby. Amen? Whew. That spirit of that older brother is a spirit that has to be broken in the church world today and every day. It has to be broken down the street, and Jeremy, it has to be broken here. That spirit of the older brother that's always offended when something good is happening. So the prodigal son has come home, and this is genuine. This is real, and this is sincere. Repentance and brokenness have put him in the Father's house. He should have never left the Father's house. We know that he should have never forsaken his heritage and his home, but now there is music and there is dancing, and somebody should be celebrating. And instead, he wants to know, why is that prodigal in the house? Dad has let something that does not belong in the house. And I can't imagine why anyone would be praising God in the Father's house. I don't understand emotion. I don't understand joy. I don't understand celebrating. But it was the psalmist that said, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Dad's God, he's talking about us. It was the psalmist that said, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. It was the psalmist that said in 84 verse 4, what joy for those who live in your house, always singing your praise. There is always a reason to praise the Father. There is always a reason to carry the joy of the Father. Dads, you should be leading the way in praise and in worship. Can I get just a few dads that would unashamedly stand up right where you are and lift your hands toward the heavens and magnify a great and a loving Father? Hey! If you have to stop and really ask the question why praise happens in the Father's house may have just lost its significance in your life. Maybe you've lost your sensitivity to the lost son. Maybe you lost touch with the reality of who the Father really is and what the Father really does and what this house is really all about. Listen. You see, the older son is out in the field. He is outside a proper relationship with the Father. And the son, the bitter son out in the field, is trying to control what happens in the house, though he's lost connection, his connection with the Father. And today we've got people that know all about churchdom. They know all about a heritage in a house of faith. But they are standing on the outside looking in. And when they don't get their way, they're trying to control out in the field what's happening in the house. And God said, as long as I'm your Father, and as long as I'm God, I will dictate what happens in the house. And when it comes to this house, there will be praise, and there will be worship, and we will magnify him with a loud voice. Amen? Detached. Disengaged. You can live under the same roof and be lost to what's going on in the Father's house. Everybody else is rejoicing. Everyone else is praising. And all you can talk about is yesterday. Everyone else is restoring right now. Everyone else is smiling right now. Everyone else is singing with their hands raised right now. And all you can talk about is the way you used to do it. As if my brother had. Everybody else is celebrating, and you can't stop blaming everybody else about your place in the field when you should be inside the house. Because there's power in the house, there's forgiveness in the house, there's brokenness in that house, but most of all, the Father is inside His house. I'm putting myself under the influence of the one who has the power to bless me. Others may be there, the prodigal is there, but if I know anything, I know that the Father is in His house, and it is the Father. The Father is the one who has the power to bless me and to pour out an abundance upon my life. If you need anything today, you need spiritual fathers, and you need God the Father in your life as the chief influence of your home in your life. That boy's been near that house for a while now, and he ought to understand what's happening in the house. Listen, when my dad pastored his first church, and my granddad was still alive, his dad, big man that would shout and worship and praise God, near the front of that old stove, hot stove, and he would worship and praise and magnify God. And as a young boy, I knew what it was to sense the blessing of the Father on the house. God blessed that little church, and we grew and we grew and we grew. That's what's been exemplified for me through the years. I understood the importance of what it is to know what God is doing inside the house. And if I get my mind, if I listen to all the voices outside the influence of the Father, it will warp me and it will hurt me. And sometimes circumstances in life hurt us and cause us to fall 47 stories. There are things that happen that disrupt what would be a normal childhood or a normal livelihood. But I tell you today that we serve a big God. And in spite of all those hurts and pains and all the damages to your life, God can still raise you up after 47 stories and do what no man can ever do. That boy's been near that house all of his life. He ought to understand what's going on in the house right now. I love the songs of yesterday. We sang a couple at the end of the message Wednesday night. I'm so thankful. I love them. I go around the house singing them. But I want to tell you, the Father that was the Father back then, He's still our Father today. And when I walk into His house, my mind is on the influence of the Father and not the influence of what someone else said or did along the way. God is faithful, and He is a right now God and a right now Father to those who want to be fathers to their own children and to their own families. He's been there for a while. There's joy in the house, but no matter how close He is to the house, listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to what I'm saying. This is important. I'm not here to crush your spirit. I'm not here to be negative. I want you to get this as a lesson, because God is teaching me a lesson. No matter how close or how long He's been close to the house, He's not even close to being made a judge over spiritual matters that are going on inside the house. He's been there His whole life, but He is in no position to be. And sometimes we think that just because we've been in church and sat on a pew and sat on a chair for 47 or 89 years or whatever it may be, that we are a judge over spiritual matters. And all the while, we've been sitting there with that same spirit of the older son. And God said, I want to encourage you. I want to tell you that I can restore you. And it doesn't matter if you're the prodigal or you're the older son, that this house is open to whosoever will. And I will open the door to you. If you may have been here all your life, but this can be the very day. This can be the first day of the rest of your life. This can be the day when God speaks to your heart and says, listen, I'm going to turn your life upside down with my presence and my blessing. And the same blessing that I have for the prodigal, I have for you. We've reversed the whole thing. We thought because we were the older brother and because we had just been there all of our lives that somehow the blessing was only for us. But God said, I'll bring you up to speed. I'll catch you up with what I'm doing in the life of the prodigal if you'll let me. While others are praising, he's bitter instead of better. I call upon the God of heaven and earth right now in this house, God. I trust you for a word unto your people that those who have been bitter will suddenly be made better by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that bitterness would fall off of them, that chains would be broken and shackles would come loose. And that God, where unconfessed bitterness, unresolved bitterness, that right now suddenly it would become better because of your word and your promise. They are rebellious, but they are not redeemed. They are controlling, but they are not contrite. But I found out that no matter how mixed up this son may be, nowhere does it ever say that he has any influence whatsoever, Brother Tommy, to stop the praise that is going on inside that house. And I came to remind us today that if we will praise when no one else is, and we will celebrate when no one else is celebrating, that God will honor our efforts. Hey, you can stay in the field if you want to, but you'll never have any influence to stop the praise and the worship that belongs to God. You'll never have any influence to stop the prodigal from coming home. As long as the Father controls the door to the house, it will be open and the prodigal will have a way in. Listen. My word, when the one closest to him has lost himself in the field, envious and disenchanted in the field, the prodigal didn't look back. The prodigal didn't stop and say, hey, you know what? My brother's giving me grief. I can hear him all the way from the field. You know what? I think I'll just go back to my pig pen. You know what? Somebody I'm connected to, they're not giving me their approval. They're looking down on me, and I can tell they don't like me and they don't want me in God's house. I just think I'll just go back to the hole I crawled out of. No. The prodigal, you know what? He kept telling himself, if I can get home, I may not have the rights of a son, but I believe I'll at least have the rights of a servant. And if I have to... If I have to crawl through the door as a servant, nothing will stop me from getting back to the Father. I'm telling you this morning, you stop listening to those negative voices that say you're not worth anything and you can't be anything to the kingdom or the church or the summit and church of God, and you stand up for your rights in Jesus Christ and you declare, I don't care how bitter they are, I'm coming for all that the Father has for me. Hey, listen. Don't ever forget, you may be the very reason why the house is responding the way the house is responding. You think your story is too much for people to handle. 47 stories. They can't handle me. And all the while, you think you're just trying your best to crawl through the door. And all the while, God told you to show up at Summiton because you're the very reason that the whole house will be responding in joy and celebration. And they'll have the very best to eat because you decided to come home. The Word of God said in the Old Testament, stay with me and we'll... Then Jacob awoke from his sleep. Just nudge your neighbor, tell someone, wake up, just wake up. He awoke from his sleep and he said this, the Lord is in this place. But he said, I did not know it. How many come to God's house Sunday after Sunday and they show up once every blue moon, every little, and all the while they didn't know it. God's presence is here. And a loving God has looked past every one of us right into your soul this morning and said, I'm talking to you. I'm speaking to you. You've intentionally turned your back on me. You've walked away just like the prodigal. But today, you're the reason that the Father is in the house. You're the reason why everyone else is ready to celebrate. Don't hide your head in shame. Don't hide your song. Don't hide your smile, your testimony, your worship, your faith, your past failures, your whistle, your joy, your presence in the house is why the host of heaven rejoices and the Father is blessing somebody else. But act like the older brother if you want to. Someone on this side, you may be the very reason that someone over here is rejoicing. They saw you. They know your testimony. You had a smile on your face. You had the right attitude when you came through the door. And someone saw you and made a connection in it. That happens to me every Sunday. That's why I look around. I'm looking up in the balcony. I'm looking to the right and I'm looking to the left. And I'll see someone and I'll make a connection with what God's doing in them right now. And because of what God's doing inside their heart and their life and the way that they're responding in utter joy to the Father, Man, it gives me even more reason to say, I don't ever want to be bitter because of what God's doing in someone else's life. He said, the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. Aren't you thankful that when we come in every Sunday, we have gifted instrumentalists and vocalists and people who lead us into the presence of God? And when we walk in, we know that God is here. There are people celebrating. We are a blessed house. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, last Sunday night, I watched 100 plus seniors eat 803 hot dogs. I counted every week, every month, Wayne and Cheryl pour into our senior adults. They call them, they visit them, they pray for them, and they lead them. Wayne and Cheryl, stand up. We have the best. Listen. We have the best family pastors on the planet. Philip and Nicole Walker lead our kids with enthusiasm. There's not ever a time I don't see a smile on his face. We are a blessed house. Our music pastors, Tanya and Brian, listen, it should blow your mind how much talent they have because God has blessed them and their family, and we love them and we praise God for them. If every week that Joey and Nancy are pouring their hearts into our young adults. Listen, we have Celebrate Recovery every Tuesday night, and those guys cook, and they cook some more, and they cook some more. And I leave here with 4,300 pounds of hamburger or whatever it may be. Take this home with you. Be blessed, Pastor. But we are reaching out to our community. We are sowing seeds every day. We understand. We know that it is is that we have men and women and so many other outreach ministries that represent our church. We have a school par excellence that God wants to bless and grow, and I believe lead us to places that we have never been before. I tell you today, we are a blessed house, and we should give God glory for all the blessings under our roof. Deborah Quinn and Molly and Miranda lead House of Hope in Jasper, as well as Celebrate Recovery. We've had some tough times, but there are times, don't you ever forget, when this house has been full of rejoicing and shouting and praising and celebrating the good works of God. This year we will celebrate a 100-year legacy, and we will rejoice. Don't, you've come too late to tell me. I've only been here 15 months, but you've come too late to tell me that this is not a blessed house, and that God's favor is not on us, and that God will not lead us today and tomorrow, because He's faithful. Sometimes we have to be reminded, stop looking over people who have looked over you. Stop choosing to live out in the field. Listen, I made up my mind a long time ago, I'm going to spend my time with those who celebrate, those who respond, those who rejoice, and I'll ignore those things that waste my time, waste God's time by being bitter and staying out in the field. I felt like God said this to me yesterday. There is an open house, there is an open heaven over an open house, and that God is still blessing this house, that God is still blessing your house. You may have been through some struggles this year. There may have been times when you doubted God and you doubted this church and you doubted your own family, but God is faithful, and there is an open heaven over an open house, and you may need to go back home today and remind yourself that just like the door is open to the prodigal here, the door is open to the prodigal in your own home. Maybe you need to kneel down right there at the opening of that door and say, God, make me and my family a blessing again, that whoever comes our way, we are sensitive to them more than we're sensitive to our own needs, and that God, you will use us to testify about your great grace and your great glory. There's an open heaven over an open house. Mayor Petey, come here. Come here and help me. Is Mayor Randy here this morning? He may be out. If Mayor Randy's here, come join me. He may be out, but Father, don't just walk with me. Listen, right now, we are declaring an open heaven over an open house. We declare to every street in Summerton and every street in Dora. We declare over every family.
Yes.
Thank God today you were faithful, and that there will be an open heaven over this open house, and every prodigal, every addict, every individual, God, that finds themselves in a pig pen, that God, somehow they will know that the light of heaven hovers over us, and that there is a place for them to be saved, to be redeemed, to be made. Stand with me all over this house. Did you know that one verse in the scripture says, the brother is safe and sound? Safe and sound. The prodigal. The very next verse says the older brother is angry. Yeah.
How could you be that resentful when you've been that blessed? That angry toward someone else when the Father has poured out his heart to you, and the Father says to the older son, all that I have has always been yours. We must stop getting bent out of shape over what other people do wrong. It's one thing to walk out of here if you're jealous, if you're envious, if you have inferiority issues, or you just like to complain. But to give up on the Father over someone else's lack of conscience is just crazy. The prodigal always has to resolve his issue with the Father. But you can't keep blaming the Father or the house or the church over somebody else's pig pen. That's right. You end up losing yourself in the process over what somebody else did. And the fact is this morning, the prodigal may never come home. The prodigal may never make it right. The prodigal may never see you for your faithfulness. But if all you do is keep fussing outside the house, you've got your own pig pen to deal with and you don't even know it. And the great thing about the Father is he's trying to get both boys back in the house. If that's all that your life consists of, then you may have 10,000 acquaintances inside the church, but you'll never have any brothers. Because nobody wants to live around a complainer. No one wants that spirit to rub off on them. Maybe today this is not what you were expecting, but it may just be that you resemble the bitter brother. More than you do a praising prodigal. And I tell you why. It is because we have lost our capacity to live rejoicing. Rejoicing for someone else more than you rejoice over your own self. Rejoicing for someone else's successes as much as you do your own. I have, Brother Artis, I have a reason to rejoice today. Miss Tommy Lou, I have a reason to praise him. I have a reason, Millicent, to trust God and to bless him every day of my life. How do you know that, Pastor? Because he taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins. God, we love you today. I thank you for your presence. I'm thankful today that, God, we have a choice, that we're not held captive by pig pens and we're not held captive by our own choices, God, to stay out in the field and to remain disconnected. And somehow, God, today that you love us and you're pulling us back, God. You're pulling the prodigal home. You're pulling the older son back into your presence, God, if we'll let you. And today we celebrate you as the Father because you love us equally and you care about us, and however we see ourselves in that two-way mirror, that God, somehow you'll love us enough to restore us, to make us new. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you would say, Pastor, I know what it is to be in the pig pen, and I know what it is to live in the field. And if I don't do anything else this morning, I just need to come home. Every aisle is open. This altar is open. And there are men and women here that represent the love of the Father that will wrap their arms around you before we do anything else. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I need to come home, this altar is open. Would you make your way to the front of this building that we can pray together and that you can reconnect to the Father? God's working. Pastor, I'm not a bad person, but I've let some things make me bitter. If you don't pray for anybody else, pray for the one individual that's already made their way to this altar this morning. I love God. I love people. I love this church, but I've let some things make me bitter through the years, and I just want to reconnect with God today. Maybe you're somewhere right between. Maybe you just really don't care either way. You're not really that prodigal, and you're not really that son out in the field. You just don't, maybe you better let God speak to you. You better let God say something to your heart today. You need to get back to a place where you care. You'll be the father you need to be, and the grandfather you need to be, and the husband you need to be, and God will bless you and he'll keep you. I'm telling you, have you not ever seen the fact that when you walk closer to God, that God blesses you even more? The closer I am to him, the more I learn and the more I receive and the better I respond. Some of you just need to reconnect with the house again. I'm going to ask every dad that will to just come stand in this altar this morning. Every dad. Moms, wives, would you lift your hands toward those that are here today? If you're not an earthly dad, you may be a spiritual dad to 1, 2, or 200, but God has raised you up for a reason and a purpose in this life. God, I pray today, I pray your blessing upon every father, upon every husband, every household. I pray, God, that you would remind us that even no matter where we are with you right now in our relationship with you, that God, you're always there, that the Father's always in the house, that the Father always cares. And God, when we're empty and we're confused and we're broken, and that God, you are there and you will connect with us if we will simply call out to you. And that God will be reminded today one more time that the house is open, that your home is open, that your throne room is open, and that God, we have access, and absolutely nothing can keep us from getting to you. I ask you to restore. You've seen every tear that's been cried today. God, I pray that you'll be a priority in our lives now and in the days to come, and that there will be fruitfulness upon our fathers, that there will be direction and guidance and favor, and that God, we will lead this church in the ways that it should go, that we will help lead our families in the way they should go, and that we will respond together every mom, every dad, in birthing vision for the days to come. We praise you for it. We thank you for it today. In Jesus' holy name. And amen. Praise the name of the Lord.